Let us pray. O God, you have given us your holy word that we may learn your truth and know your will. Give light to our understanding, we pray you, that we easily understand and know what you want us to be and to do, and fill us with grace and power to follow you always, through Christ our Lord. Amen. That we may understand the love of Christ. Today is the first Sunday in the year of our Lord, 2019. And I am sure that many of us are still thinking of our New Year's resolutions, the ones we made at least on the 31st of December, 2018, or even before then. And many people maybe at that time would say, well, may the past year go with all its tragedies and pains, and may we experience good fortunes and healthier lifestyles, and even negotiate better relationships with people in the new year. Let the old go with all its troubles, and let the new come. Many people and cultures do different things to say goodbye to the old and welcome the new. The Dutch, for whom the circle is a symbol of success, eat donuts. The Greeks bake special Vasilopita cake with a coin inside, bestowing good luck in the coming year on whoever finds in it his or her slice. And fireworks on New Year's Eve started in China millennia ago as a way to chase off evil spirits. In Scotland, we do hog money. Individuals do make New Year's resolutions, even if we hardly keep them. A 2007 study by British psychologist Richard Wiseman found that for many of us, nothing changes on New Year's Day. Of 3,000 people followed for a year, 88% failed to achieve the goals of their resolutions, although 52% had been confident they would when they met them. Interestingly, New Year's resolutions also commonly include things like treating people better, making new friends, and paying off debts. For example, the Babylonians would return borrowed objects. Jews seek and offer forgiveness. The Scots go first footing, visiting neighbors to wish them well. Often, Scots carry dark coal with them to signify that they brought warmth to their neighbors. But when I did my own first footing last Friday, I did not carry coal with me. Because you don't need them. Technology has changed. But that doesn't mean that I was not bringing warmth to you this new year, to those I visited. All these things are attempts to show that we love ourselves and that we love others as well. We have evolved to depend on others, literally, for our health and safety. Treating people well is a good way to be treated well. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But again, in the new year, some people resolve to pray more. Pray more. And God is likely to keep you safe. Jews pray at the start of their new year to be inscribed in the book of life for one more year. And though death is inescapable throughout history, humans have dealt with the fear of death by affiliating with religions that promise happy endings. Pray more, and death is less scary. It reminds me of Woody Allen's famous quote, "I am not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." At the center of all that we wish for people and ourselves in the new year are interests, be it in the sphere of uncertainties like tragedies and of relationships such as love for one another, But our love is always conditional and often don't last. And the things we wish for are often temporary. So the Apostle Paul longs to see something permanent and honest in our relationships to God and people. And this he exemplifies in his dream prayer for the church in Ephesus, in which he pictures the kind of people God wants his people to be. Not just the people who make New Year's resolutions, which at last do not last, but his longing for their progress into maturity in Christ and their understanding of the love of Christ. In verse 14, where our text begins, Paul is resuming the prayer that he started in verse 1, where he has been thanking God for doing a new thing for the Ephesians through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has created a new community in which Jews and Gentiles, who for centuries had not been in good terms with one another, are now reconciled into one family in Christ. And it is for this reason that Paul prays. And then he goes on to pray that God would grant something according to the riches of his glory. In other words, according to the resources that he has in heaven, from which all our needs can be met. Well, that's how Paul introduces his prayer. And I want now to turn from his introduction to the prayer itself, which constitutes three petitions. And the first is in verse 16. He prays for inward strength, that we might be strengthened by the Holy Spirit deep down in our innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. The strengthening of the inner man comes when Christ takes up permanent residence in our lives. As Henry Lee wrote, "Not a brief glance, I beg, a passing word, but as thou dwellest with thy disciples, Lord, familiar, condescending, patient, free, come not to sojourn, but to abide." The secret of strength is the presence of Christ within our lives. Christ would gladly come into our lives, but he will never force his way. He must await our invitation to bring us his strength. And we have been bringing this little boy, Blair, this morning to God in baptism so that he would bless him. A prayer for inward strength. Then secondly, at the end of verse 17, he prays that we may be rooted in love for one another. Love is the soil in which we may grow and on which we may build our lives. And Paul reckons that if we love one another, we would have the power to understand the full dimensions of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And then thirdly, verse 19, Paul prays that we may be full with the fullness of God. That is, we may be filled with everything of God which human beings are capable of receiving. Well, that must be one of the most amazing prayers that anybody has ever prayed, because it envisages the spiritual possibilities which lie before the people of God. It is possible through prayer and fervent service to God to be inwardly strengthened by Christ through the Spirit. It is possible through love for one another to comprehend the full dimensions of Christ's love and then be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, friends, if that is right about Paul's prayer, then the climax is that we may know the love of Christ. And what the apostle tells us regarding the love of Christ is of vital importance today, because we live in such an unloving, such a dehumanized society where everybody is looking for love. Sigmund Freud commented that love and work are the greatest cornerstones of our humanness. Love is the greatest thing in the world. Everybody knows that. Even non-Christian people know that too. Think, for example, of that great philosopher, John Ellis MacTaggart, who wrote, "I believe it is in love and in nothing else that we find not only the supreme value of life, but also the supreme reality of life, indeed of the universe." Love is the supreme reality of the universe. Now, if that is partly true of human love, how much more it is of the love of Christ. We know why love is the greatest thing in the world. It is because God is love in his own innermost being, that when he created us in his own image, he made us creatures of love with the capacity to love and be loved. And then when we rebuffed his love, he kept on loving us until that time just passed when love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely love divine. And love was not only manifested in the stable in the manger, but manifest supremely on the cross when God pursued us in Christ even to that desolate agony in his great love with which he loves us. As John writes in 1 John 3:16 to 18, it is by this that we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Friend, are you clear in your mind that the gospel is the greatest love story that has ever been told in the world? And if any of us has even begun to love, then we love only because he loved us first. And so Paul goes on to pray that we may know the dimensions of the love of Christ. How wide and deep and long is the love of Christ. It is as if Paul invited us to look at the universe, to the limitless sky above, to the limitless horizons on every side, to the depth on the earth and of the seas beneath us, and said, the love of Christ is as vast as that. Who can escape the grip of such love? Even the helpless sinner on the cross with Jesus asked for it. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Dear friends, the dimension of the love of Christ means that in the breadth of its sweep, the love of Christ includes every man and woman of every kind, in every age, in every world. In the length to which it would go, the love of Christ accepted even the cross. In its depth, it descended to experience even death. In its height, he still loves us in heaven, where he ever lives to intercede for us. No man or woman is outside the love of Christ. No place is out of its reach, that we may understand the love of Christ. Beloved in the Lord, you know that this world is not what it was meant to be. It is torn apart by opposing forces and by hatred and strife, nation against nation, people against people, even families, class against class, and racism in public and private places. Within a man's own self, the fight rages between the evil and the good. But God desires that all men and women and all nations should become one in Christ. To achieve this end, Christ needs the church to go out and tell the world of his love and of his mercy. And the church cannot do that until its members, joined in fellowship, experience the limitless love of Christ. Maybe you've come to church this morning feeling disappointed or unloved or jilted in a love affair. Maybe someone has rebuffed your love, or you find it even difficult to love someone. Learn from Christ and love even the unlovable. Rejoice because the one who formed you in his image loves you and can do exceedingly immeasurable more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power. For this is the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now that you know about this all-encompassing love of Christ that will not let you go, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Jesus loves you. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you again with our lives and all that we are and all that we have. We want to love you more because we know that you love us, no matter who we are, no matter what we are. Accept us and teach us your love. And we pray too for times when we have not loved others the way we should. Give us love, lasting love, enduring love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.